I want to continue with the establishment of the church series that I started a while back. This is part three. Today, it's going to be changing your world. You know, after Christ's resurrection, then he began to form his church, which is sometimes called the body of Christ. And it's called both, even in the Word of God. It's called both, both of them. Now, in Ephesians 15 and 16, I want to read this time. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. I want you to notice these three things: healthy, growing, and full of love. That's what the church or the body of Christ should be. Now we have each local church that makes up part of the church. And the church is the ecclesia, or in theological terms, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the body of Christ, the church. And it says it in all through the Word of God. It's called the body of Christ and the church. Christ is the head and the church is the body. So we need to realize that the head gives direction to the body, right? You couldn't operate without your head. So what he wants us to do is to be involved in changing our world, the world we live in. I'm not talking about the broad scope. I'm talking about the world we live in. Where we're at the moment is where we should be making a difference. You know, people, we should be involved in getting people born again. We should be involved in seeing that people are healed and set free. We should be involved in helping others go to foreign, we might call it, or international, as they call it now, places to minister the Word of God, where many times they haven't even heard the Word. You know, now let's look at the early church for just a moment. See, now what many people need to realize, the book of Acts is a small description of what the church, it was organized right there in the book of Acts. And that, because that's how Christ organized it. He started with those believers in the upper room that got filled with the Holy Spirit. That was the beginning of the church, and it's expanded from there. Actually, if many people read the book of Acts and they think that that is a concise description of everything that happened, no, that's just parts of what happened during the early church there. You know, John said that if everything that Christ did, it couldn't be written. There were not enough books to contain it. Anybody ever read that in there? So in the book of Acts, it's only a concise or important parts that were going on. There were many other parts. We basically, in the first nine chapters, it talks about Peter. And then the rest of the book of Acts is about Paul and what he did. Now, what about all the others? They were doing things too. We just don't realize that. And we don't realize sometimes that the book of Acts did not stop with the 28th chapter. It's called the Acts of the Early Church. We are the latter church. And we are still recording because the church is still alive. As long as the church is on this earth, We will be writing the latter part of the book of Acts. All right. Look at this in the early church. It says all the believers devoted himself to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals, including Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, shared everything. They sold their property and possessions and shared money and needs. They worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy, all the while praising God and enjoying the good will of the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now, many people want to do what they did here. They were forced by the Roman rule that was upon them. They were forced to do this thing, to come together, because that's the only way that they could survive. You can go study it. That's a historical part in religious history, if you'll study it. Here we see, though, the thing I want you to see is that they were working together. They devoted themselves to the teaching and to fellowshipping, and then to seeing that others were being added to the church. And you see that all through the Acts. And we see that the early church was healthy and growing and full of love. Well, shouldn't that be us today? Now, you know, the world is in sad shape where we live. Matthew 24:6-8 says, "And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these signs must take place, but the end will not follow. The end won't follow immediately. Nations go to war against nations, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, earthquakes, many parts of the world. But only this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come." Now, these verses can speak of a condition of the world as the last days approach. I think that we are entering into those. I believe that we are very close to the end time. You know, we see nations against nations. It's on the news all the time. Violence, crime, corruption, immorality, evil is rampant. It even seems like nature itself is upset and volatile. And that is part of the word, because in Romans, Paul says that the whole earth, meaning the natural, the nature itself, it said it groans for that day. What day is it groaning for? It's groaning for the day that it will be when Jesus comes, and it will be turned back into the way it was in the original creation with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, sometimes we read things, but we need to learn how to put it all together. It all fits together. It all comes back around. You know, in the Hebrew area, in the Bible, we look at things linearly. It was circular. You get taught that if you go to Bible school somewhere. I mean, not more theology in Bible school. You know, when we look around and see the shape of the world, it better get us motivated a little bit. Because you see, somebody said, "Well, how did all that happen? Why is the world like it is?" Well, it's because Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And they lost the authority that they had been given. They had been given the authority over everything. But Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 4:4, that Satan is the god of this world. It says, whose minds the god of this age has blinded. I like the way the NLT reads it. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message and the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So everything that's happening is Satan. Somebody said, "Well, I don't know about it." Well, that's what, look at what it said. It says in John 10:10, the thief, that is Satan, has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Is that what's happening today? Huh? Am I speaking to anybody? See, that's why that bad things happen. It's not because of God. They say, well, God's in control. No, God's only in control of those like us that have committed their life to him. Satan is actually in control of this world. And he will be until Jesus comes and we have what we call the catching away or the rapture. That's why you see wickedness and corruption all around, because he's the one in control. And they teach evolution and not creation. Chaos and violence and have been, these things have infiltrated society with thinking that is not in line with the Word of God. It's time that we rise up as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to take our authority and take our place and change the world where we're living. We have the authority to do that. Yesterday I had one of the students, their parents was here and they wanted to be baptized, so we used the baptistry back here behind and they could see from the sides. And the sirens started going off. And of course, the tornadoes was all around, if y'all didn't know it. And the people living in student housing came over here because they've been told to do that, because this place is a safe place. I tell you what, this place was built. You can drive a truck, they say, into that end of the building, and you never feel it over here. There's Charlie sitting back there. He helped build it. The engineers say that this building was one of the strongest buildings they've built. Isn't that right, Charlie? Wave your hand. Yeah. How many of you remember when we had all the snow on the roof back there? And there was a little bit of damage, but the rest, it didn't even affect. And some of the engineers said, man, that should have caved all in, but it didn't, because it was built so strong. Hey, we need to realize that we are the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we all came together, and we were back there in the choir room, because that's in the middle of this building. And we began to pray and begin. I heard that there were tornado watch earlier, and I began to speak to it then. So you need to begin to speak to it the minute it comes in. I began to say, no harm to any of the Rhema property. No harm to any of my property or my kids' property. Or no harm to any of my grandsons. Because I have authority to do that. You're going to have to do that. See, that's what we have. We have the authority to control our world that we live in. And I heard somebody say that the tornado was coming right toward them, and they were speaking to it, and it went the other direction. We have authority, and we were speaking our authority. That's what the church is supposed to do. You are the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to realize that he has several steps to develop what we should do. First of all, we have to be born again. Secondly, God's made a way for us to receive all the promises of God. And how has he done this? The third thing, he has done this by giving us the authority of the name of Jesus. Because the Word of God said at the name of Jesus, everything has to bow. Also, we have been given the Holy Spirit. Man, we need to realize that every member of the body of Christ needs to be involved in changing the world, their world, where they live. Matthew 28, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given authority, all in authority in heaven and on the earth. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach the new disciples to obey all the commands I've given them, and be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Before Jesus went back to heaven, he spoke this. He is with us. The church is to bring the message of salvation and healing and deliverance to the world. The church is to bring the power of God into your life. See, God created born-again believers to be world changers. Now, when you say world, everybody starts talking about, well, going somewhere. No, we'll get to that in a minute. First of all, before we start going, we got to realize who we are. And Matthew 5:13-16 tells us who we are. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Ooh. What good is it if you've lost your power to do what God told you to do? Can you make salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world, like a city on the hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise the Heavenly Father. Here we see a figurative of speech, salt and light. What does salt do? Salt brings change wherever it goes. Whatever it touches, it changes. Am I right or wrong? And light dispels the darkness. So every time you're going around, wherever you're going, it immediately, people should know that you are a child of God and that the light of God is there. You see, some people think you got to preach a message. No, you don't have to preach a message. You just have to live a life. Excuse me. To make a change. You know, this is describing us as believers to be laborers in the harvest field. He told his disciples, he said, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the field. Notice, I want you to notice that the harvest is ripe. That means that there is somebody waiting for you to come and show, be the salt and the light in their life. Don't go out and try to make it happen. Let it happen. See, sometimes people get so involved, oh, I want to go out and get people saved. Well, that's good. But you know what? I've found I've been able to sit on an aircraft when I was traveling commercially years ago, and I would start talking to them about their business and so forth and so on. And, you know, almost every time that conversation will turn around and you will have an opportunity to be salt and light. So when you try to force it, it don't work. But if you just be the salt and light and light wherever you go. How many of you have ever had somebody say to you, you know, you've been talking with them and then they would say, you're different. Anybody ever had that happen? You know why? They're picking up on the salt and the light. I've had people say that, and I said, well, yeah, I may be different in a lot of ways, but one way I'm different is that I believe that Jesus Christ has come to save those that need to be born again. Those that need to know him. I mean, that's a great embassy. See, that's what we are supposed to do. Because in Acts 1:8, as Jesus was fixing to leave this earth, he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Now, let me ask you a question. Has the Holy Spirit come? Then what are we supposed to be doing? Sitting around the house waiting for God to do something? Or are we supposed to be going and to do something with the power of God and the Word of God? As a member of the body of Christ, you're to bring hope and help and healing to the world. You know, He didn't create the church to hide in the four walls. Paul said we are vessels carrying the great treasure to the world. God expects each one of us to do something. You know, it's so ironic when you read, people read Mark 16:15-18, and when he told them, Jesus, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone, and anyone who believes and baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They'll cast out demons in my name. They'll speak in new language. They'll be able to handle snakes safely. If they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They'll be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Now, it doesn't say that you're supposed to handle snakes. What it's saying, if you happen to get involved with one, you can believe God. Paul did it. He shook the thing off in the fire. He wasn't handling it, okay? Now, God never told us to go into all the world if he didn't equip us. He equipped us with the Word of God. He equipped us with the name of Jesus, and we're equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, people read that, you know, going to all the world, man, they want to jump up and run. Well, let me tell you what Jesus told them. He said to that early church, and we need to be the same way. He said, Jerusalem, that's where they live, right? That's where they lived, in Jerusalem. Start where they were. If you're not doing anything and you're in the world right now where you're at, don't expect to be able to go off somewhere and do it. He says, start in Jerusalem, then Judea, spread out, then to Samaria. That was next door. That was the province next door, or the state next to them, we might say. And then to the other places. Did you know most of the missionaries that I know that have gone out and started something, they did something here first and then they went. Come on now. We need to realize who we are. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say it with me. I am. Part of. Of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the authority to use the name of Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit to go into your world and minister. And everyone will be used differently. We need to realize we'll be used according to our skills and talents to help change our world. Some will preach for the gospel from the pulpit. Some will do it by going out on the street and witnessing. Some will do it by the showing love and kindness to somebody. Others will do it by taking the gospel into what we call residential evangelism. Some will do it by helping others with their needs. Some will do it by giving a book to somebody to read. Others that cannot get out can offer prayer on behalf of those that are out doing the job and pray for the harvest. He said to pray for the harvest. Pray that there be more laborers. There are many, many practical ways that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ can get involved in changing their world. I'm not trying to get you to change this whole world. I'm trying to get you to change the world you live in. I'm trying to get you to take charge by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world you live in, where you work, where you live, what you do, those you come in contact with daily. We come in contact with people daily, and we need to be the salt and the light. Amen. We as the church do our part of building the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's many local bodies that make up the complete body. There is Matt and Julie Beamer sitting here this morning, but their church that's part of the Lord Jesus Christ is in Beirut, right? They're there. Hello. There's John Grunewald that has churches in Germany and other places in Europe, and they're part of the church doing, they're creating their world. You see, as we all, and there's Vidar from Kenya, they all have churches like us. But you see, we're many multiple churches that make up the complete body of Christ, and we all should be doing the same thing, that is changing our world where we're at. And we have the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God to control and change things around us. And we got it for our protection, for our healing, for going out and ministering and getting others. And it says there, when we read that over there in Acts, it says they were added to the church as everyone did what they were supposed to do and get involved. As I taught in the one of the other sessions, I talked about the many, I used the human body, Paul did, many parts, but many different parts, but it all makes one body. We're many different parts all over the world, making up the one body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that has been commissioned to go and change your world. Father, I talked to these people for a few moments today to stir them up to go and change their world with the power of God, like you said in your word. May our words have found lodgment in hearts, and may many more get involved so that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be healthy and walking in love. We thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you happen to be in this place today and you are not a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've never accepted him as your personal Savior, I want you to do so before you leave. And when you leave here, you can say, I'm part of the body. I'm part of the church. Or you may be here and you may know what it is, but you realize that you're not just where you're supposed to be, and you need to rededicate your life. Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hand right now, anywhere in this room. I want to pray with you, and I want to pray for you. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Father, if there happens to be one that is listening to my voice that does not know your Son as their Savior and you as their Father, or one that needs to rededicate their life, I pray that the precious Holy Spirit will go with them and deal with them until they stop and accept Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Did anybody get anything out of this today? Praise the Lord. I want you to get involved in the church. Amen. Praise the Lord.